one more game for the Nuggets to close this thing out against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Live today from the Aloe Fiber Studios. If you guys have thoughts on the weekend that was, there was a lot of activity on, Jell. Spring football, Avs playoffs. There's the good, the bad, the ugly just there within the Avs organization right now, and we'll get to that throughout the day today. And then, you know, you had the Nuggets game on Friday. They win, they lose on Sunday. They're still up 3-1. No team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit, so should be good. Is there a little doubt, little something creeping in there after seeing yesterday's or last night's performance? I mean, the Nuggets were down 12 with 2 minutes and 23 seconds left. And then they go on a 12-0 run. No, 12-0, yeah. And they force overtime. Overtime just wasn't great. I don't know why Malone's not designing plays to go to Michael Porter Jr., but, you know, you got to get nitpicky, I guess. It's hard to close teams out, man. It's not, you know, beating a team 4 times in a row. Now, I mean, we're not just talking like throughout the regular season when you play a team 4 times, beating them, play them again in 2 weeks, play them again in 2 months, play them again in a month. That's different. You're playing them back, you know, essentially 4 times within a span of a week. So everything's fresh. All the adjustments are fresh. Everything you're doing is fresh. Referees love blowing that whistle last night. Joker got in a little foul trouble off and on, but Michael Malone stuck with him, played through it. I'm not worried. I mean, you bring this thing back home to Denver, you win tomorrow night, it's done. If Minnesota wins that game, do you start to worry? I just don't think Minnesota outside Anthony Edwards has what it takes, man. They haven't shown me. Rudy Gobert is not a good player. I'm sorry. He is a tall dude that can block shots. He is a glorified Chris Anderson. He is a glorified Nene. No, not Nene. Kenneth Faried. Yeah, there we go. Nene was actually, could back down, move some guys around, but he's a shot blocker. He's a dunker. That's all he can do. Karl Anthony Towns kind of got going, but he gets fouled out. Other than Anthony Edwards, who's just been ridiculous in this series. Tell me what you're worried about outside of Anthony Edwards with this team. That Karl Anthony Towns finally realizes that he's better than how he's been playing and he puts it up and starts going at it. Yeah, I'm good. I think the Nuggets find a way to do this. Jamal Murray had 19. Would have liked to see a little more activity from him. But, you know, Joker looked like he was sleepwalking through this and scored 43. That was like the opposite of the Chicago game. He took 8 threes in this game. That Chicago game that I hate so much back in the regular season. But he made 5. He's got the shot. But nobody else was really going with him. You know, Porter didn't get going until the 4th, and then Malone shut him down in overtime. Nobody else was going with him. We've said it a million times over. In order for the Nuggets to succeed and advance in the playoffs, you got to have another guy going with you. And 19 points from Jamal was the second leading score. You probably need, like, the recipe is typically, and again, the point total, whatever it is, the recipe is typically Joker's flirting with the triple-double, he's in the mid-20s, and then somebody else is in the mid-20s, mid to high 20s. That just kind of shows you how the game's going. But this game, the stat line does kind of tell the story here. Jamal was fine. Michael Porter Jr. was fine until then. He was really good in the 4th, hitting those threes. He only hit 2 threes, but they were big threes. And Aaron Gordon was dunking, and that was fine. But the box score in this game tells you the story. Sometimes it doesn't, but this one does. It was Joker, and really, everybody else kind of sprinkled in some help along the way. Difficult to close a team out on the road. That's a tough thing to do. We knew Minnesota was going to fight. The Nuggets kind of look like, Shaq even said it at the halftime show, this team is sleepwalking through the first half, yet you were you up at that point? Yeah, you were up. You were up at the half. Third quarter wasn't great. Minnesota outscored the Nuggets by 10. So they were sleepwalking and still forced overtime. You got to think this team's dialed in tomorrow in Denver, 7 o'clock, should be fine.
Yeah, I think each game so far in this series, Minnesota has given Denver a pretty solid punch. In some games, it's enough. Like last night, where they're able just Nuggets just caught them on a bad night. And when you play the same team, like you said, four times in a row, you pick up on things. You pick up on little tendencies like, hey, when they set this screen, they're usually going this way. He usually starts his dribble with his right hand rather than his left. And you pick up on that on their side and on your side. So it's about the adjustments you make throughout the series. But I still think Denver is the better team any given night. And, yeah, you go out in front of the Ball Arena crowd who's already jazzed up because the Avs are back in their series. You keep that momentum going and you lock it up at home.
Yeah, I have no doubt that they lock this thing up at home. I mean, obviously, Minnesota is a 42-40 team. You know, they're capable of winning games. Karl Anthony Towns is capable of playing better than that. I thought Minnesota got really scared at the end of that game. They were terrified. They were taking ridiculous shots and turning the ball over when the Nuggets started turning it up. So if Denver just does what they did in that last 2 minutes of play, do that for five full minutes in the first, five full minutes in the second, five full minutes in the third, five full minutes in the fourth, it's over. Again, defense in the NBA is a mental commitment. Denver didn't play any defense. Michael Malone said as much. Did not play defense. But if you mentally check yourself into playing defense, then Denver's one of the best when they do that. Physically, they have the guys. I look at the last play of regulation. When you had Anthony Edwards at the top of the key, was it Bruce Brown on him one-on-one? And Jamal kept faking like he was going to double him at the top. Fake it. And then right when Anthony Edwards is about to really contemplate shooting the basketball and win the game in regulation, Jamal steps in, they get the steal. That was really smart. That was great defense. Didn't see that outside of that two-minute span from Denver. There was a desperation in their defense in 2 minutes, and that. So again, if I'm Malone, I'm harping on that. You gotta press it. There, you can't do it all game. You can't play steal the ball aggressive defense all game. You'll wear yourself out and you'll suck on offense. Just ask Gary Payton. You know when he was tasked to try to guard Michael Jordan when they were in the playoffs, his offense struggled from it. But you have to have portions of the game where you really say, all right, we're locking in for a five-minute span here in the first. We're going to start the game out with a defensive intensity and rattle the cages and shake them up. Then we're going to do it at the end of the second to in the half, whatever. It is a mental thing that you have to check into. But I'm not worried. Not stressed at all. You guys, where are you at? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. On Gel, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly. We'll talk a lot of Nuggets. We'll talk a lot of Avs, a lot of spring ball, a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff we're going to get to today. But first, let's do it. The good for me is your Colorado Avalanche took care of business. They lead the series 2-1. They've won two in a row. I thought if there's a game Seattle can win again, obviously they took game one, I thought it was going to be game three because it's the very first playoff game at home in Seattle for them. So they're going to be crazy. Man, they couldn't handle it. It was, you know, nerve-wracking though. Avs were up 2-1 and then Seattle scored two, outscored the Avs 2-1 in that game. So then you got a tie going into the third. But the Avs took care of business. Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, probably candidates for my player of the week, right there with Nikola Jokic, and I'll get your thoughts on that too, because I want to get our Glass Doctor player of the week put up and available at theholeshow.com. The bad for me, that's the Nuggets loss. I watched that game. Angel, do you ever get the feeling sometimes that teams play the way you view the game? Meaning, if you go into it really pumped and jazzed and like, this is a must win, you almost feel like your team plays like that. But if you go into the game and you're like, yeah, you're down 10, it's not that big a deal. They'll come back. And if they don't, yeah, it's fine. I felt like the Nuggets were playing how I was watching the game last night. And then the last 4 minutes, I was like, you got to do something. Okay, now I'm leaning in. Let's go. That's how the Nuggets played this game last night.
Yeah, I kind of was just like, if they lose this game, I get it. Second one on the road. It's really tough to win both games on the road.
It's tough to close out, man. You got a desperate team with nothing to lose. They know the stats. They know they ain't coming back from this, so they got nothing to lose.
They're going
to
talk. They're going to do their, oh, we're still here, blah, blah, blah. You know, we'll come back to Minnesota. No, it's done.
No. It's done. You go to Denver, bye-bye. The crowd was waving bye-bye to the Nuggets. They should have been waving bye-bye to the T-Wolves because they ain't going to see them again until next season. No more Rudy Gobert just standing in the paint. God, that's exhilarating basketball, isn't it? Gobert's a fun player to watch. The ugly... What is going on, dude? What is going on with Valeri Nichushkin? What is happening here? He leaves the Avalanche for personal reasons. No timetable for postseason return. He did not play Saturday in the team's Game 3 win over the Kraken and has since departed Seattle, a team spokesperson confirmed. Because they've got tonight, this one is in Seattle. So he is not there. He's gone. It's unclear if he has returned to Denver or when he expects to rejoin the Avs. All we are getting is, here's what Coach Bednar said, gone for personal reasons. And that his absence is not related to team discipline or injuries. And again, if you want to be the conspiracy theorist out there, he is Russian. But I've already had people messaging me saying, yeah, it's something to do with that. What are you saying? There's like a mass exodus of Russian players. They're not wanting them to play in America anymore. Then we'd be seeing that. I don't know. Have you seen it? Are there stats or whatever stories of other players suddenly not playing that are from Russia? I don't think so.
No, there was stuff like, you know, Russia was doing some military draft or they were sending out digital summons or whatever. That's all speculation at this point. And if that was happening, national news would be covering.
Yeah,
if there was a mass removal of Russian NHL players in the playoffs,
right,
it would be national news.
Yeah, I can't go there because we'd have to have something bigger.
That's a real reach, and that could be it, but there's no way of confirming that right now.
Did he get into it with somebody? I mean, you won two in a row. He was one of the big reasons they won game two.
Yeah, so it's really weird because he was escorted by security to the airport. Like, it doesn't sound like anything went wrong with the team, or there was, you know, a fight or something with them, according to coach, and no injury concerns as far as we know. So it's just weird.
This is just a strange deal. I'm blown away by this. And again, you're going to get the conspiracy theorists out there. All right, there's the good, the bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com. Friday's game was interesting, though, with the Nuggets. So Joker was complaining to the ref. And he would go up and slap his arm. He'd slap his own arm, not the ref's arm. He'd slap his own arm. Be like, dude, he's getting me here. Then he'd be like, dude, he's getting me here. He'd slap his ribs. Dude, he's getting me here on the shoulder. Well, finally he got so frustrated with going to the referee and telling him all the places the guys were getting him. He's backing down the floor. And he just starts slapping himself. He's got the Macarena going on.
He hit every move.
It was so funny, dude. I was cracking up. I was like, what is he doing? Is he okay? And he just totally was like, they're hitting me here. They're hitting me here. They're hitting me here. Hey, they're hitting me here.
So you've got ants all over your body. You're just trying to get them off of you.
I love an animated Nikola Jokic, man. I absolutely do. I don't love how... Okay, I love the NBA. I'm a big NBA fan. But I can admit there are issues with the product. The players are taking advantage of the officiating. The officials are bad because they're inconsistent. Players complain all the time. If LeBron wouldn't have fallen down and writhed in pain, would we be talking about, you know, the Memphis guy, Dylan Brooks? Would he have been ejected from that game? Because it looked like he was reaching for the ball, but he got another one instead. And LeBron goes down, and it looked like he could be dead. I was like, oh, dude, we got to get the ambulance out there. He could be dead. And then, of course, they kicked Dylan Brooks out. If LeBron's not laying like that on the ground for 5 years, does Dylan Brooks get tossed?
Probably not. There's been this weird trend in the NBA in the last 10, 15 years almost, where it feels like the big-time stars get leeway when it comes to calls. Whether it's they're getting a whistle every time they go up for a shot, or they're fouling people and they're not getting called on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe we haven't seen it as Nuggets fans because we haven't had that kind of player yet. And now that we have Jokic, we see, oh, wait, Jokic is 2-time MVP. He's getting all this stuff, but he's not getting the calls that an Embiid or a Giannis is getting.
Yeah, and it's not that Joker doesn't complain. I mean, again, I'm not saying he's free of that. He complains. Do you think that it's okay? Now, I don't know if this went into it, but we know Draymond Green's did. There was a part of his ejection was his past, his actions in the past. Well, Dylan Brooks is saying, yeah, I've been painted as a villain, so now they're going to use my past leading up to this, too. They're not going to give me benefit of the doubt. Should officials, now mentally you can't change what a person's thinking, but should officials be really harped on this offseason as far as, hey, you can't, you got to judge the play as the play. You can't think about his reputation, who he is, what he's done in the past. You have to judge the play as the play. I think that's one, again, that's not the major issue, but that's one thing that's kind of weird, is reputations. You're officiating reputations, not the players.
I mean, you'd want that in a perfect world. All your refs are unbiased and neutral in their calls, and they call it fair, but it's really hard to see, like, how do you measure that, one, and two, how do you enforce it? Because, if it's a game in L.A., it's game seven. This mm-hmm. is to determine if the Lakers go to the Western Conference Finals and LeBron may or may not have gotten fouled on a layup. Probably going to give LeBron that call because he's LeBron James, whether it's the TV, whether it's the media, whether it's the audience and the fans. Ref, you suck, ref, you suck. We hear those chants every single game. It's not an easy job by any means, but, how do you measure the consistency and get rid of that favoritism? Can you point it out when it happens?
Yeah, it's tough because, again, officiating is subjective. So you're trying to fix a portion of a referee's brain, and it's not just the call they're seeing. They're officiating these personalities, these mega superstars, too. It is tough. But I'll tell you right now, Angel, if you sit down this offseason and say, hey, now within reason, but as soon as a guy turns after a foul and is animated and just gets up in your face and is complaining in a big way, tee him up. Tee him up. Start teeing him up, and you're going to get rid of it. You will get rid of it. Now, it's going to be harsh. It's going to be, you're bending the spine. It's going to be very difficult in the first month of regular season basketball. And I'm saying this for Joker, too. As soon as Joker gets a foul, if he turns and he's animated, he's like, ah, and he screams, and he runs over to the ref and he starts pleading. The ref goes, now, you better stop. Keep going. It's tech. If he keeps, boom, tech him up.
Where do you draw the line if
a player
reacts in a way maybe towards his bench or maybe towards the fans?
Well, that's what the tough part, because you've seen this happen. Remember Tim Duncan on the sidelines all those years ago? He's literally on the bench. He's not even playing. And he's talking to his boy about something else. And the referee thinks he's snickering about him and turns around and tees him up. So you got to be careful here. But something's got to change, because what I saw last night, and this isn't just last night, but last night it was ticky-tack, 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 and then...
Ticky-tack and late.
Late.
Like,
and
embarrassingly late.
And that's because you're hearing the players complain, and then you throw the foul. So that's bad. But then there's another game you watch, and it's like nobody's getting a foul. Rudy Gobert, they ended up overturning it, but he was not set, dude. My grandma called me, and she's like, dude, Rudy Gobert's not set. They can see this. But yet, you called it a foul because you saw Rudy Gobert fall back 5 feet. No, that must be a foul. There's no way a 7-foot man could fly like that and fall down to the ground. Yeah, they do it all the time. There's got to be a better way to do it. So hopefully they can figure it out. Instead of wasting their damn time trying to figure out this regular season tournament Adam Silver talked about this last week. I'm like, dude, stop focusing on that and stop focusing on crap teams tanking. Focus on making your product better in the game. That's what needs 100% of your focus. The Weld County Swami texting in, do you have questions about this team's mental tenacity to close the series or be locked in for Game 7 against Phoenix? They lose one game, and it's like, oh, my gosh, this team can't do anything.
Game 7 with Phoenix? Phoenix has their own series to worry about.
They might go Game 7 with the Clippers. Who knows? No, I don't have a doubt about that right now. Not right now. I mean, could Phoenix beat the Nuggets on any given day? Sure, the Nuggets could beat Phoenix on any given day, too. I think those teams are going to be evenly matched. It could be a dogfight. But Phoenix can't get past... I mean, they have a hard time getting past what Russell Westbrook and no Kawhi Leonard and no Paul George. They're battling it out with the Clippers, and those two guys are nowhere to be seen.
If there's 2 minutes in the game last night, not overtime, do the Nuggets win? Like, just two more minutes.
Two more minutes in overtime?
In
regulation?
Quarter.
Yes. Yeah. Minnesota.
Because that 12-0 run shows me this team has, they have it.
Joker, as far as the dog thing, 42 points, 43 points in a game.
Jokic was angry last night.
He was angry and he was tearing him up. He was ripping him to shreds and he made that key shot to put him down by one. And then they get the stop again and then they, or no, whatever it was. I don't remember what it was, but he had the key shot late.
All with like reaching foul trouble the entire game.
Minnesota was tinkling down their leg the last 2 minutes of that game, dude. They were a little scared puppy. You know, they were messing all over the place. You had to put newspaper down on the floor. They were messing so bad. But, yeah, overtime came, and Michael Malone goes, you know who was hot in the last 2 minutes? It was Michael Porter Jr. You know who's not going to get the ball? Michael Porter Jr. Any reason? I forgot. I don't know. Who knows what it is? Texter, 7-game series. Good teams do what the Nuggets did last night. Great teams bury them last night and move on. Last I checked, Boston is still.
Who's the great team in the NBA playoffs right now?
Philly?
The Sixers?
Is it Philly? Because they beat out
the Brooklyn Scrubs?
The Brooklyn Scrubs that lost everybody midseason? There's nobody doing that right now. Boston can't do it.
Phoenix high and mighty. They're in a 4-game series right now.
They've struggled. I don't know what the score was the other night, but there was moments there. The game before that, they struggled. And there's no Kawhi. He ain't coming back. Paul George ain't coming back. And you're just... Russell Westbrook looks like the 2012 Oklahoma City Thunder version of Russell Westbrook. I mean, nobody's blowing anybody away right now. L.A. and Memphis? Ja Morant had a lot of points, but he was losing his damn mind against the Lakers. 29 minutes after the hour. Let's get a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Dylan Brooks song right here. Is it Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap? You know, I don't see why people should freak out today. Like, for some reason I was thinking when they were saying the Nuggets have never swept anybody in the playoffs last night. I thought they had, Angel, but that year, 2008-2009, the year with Melo and Chauncey when they went to the Western Conference Finals, apparently they haven't. They didn't. But you know what they did? So they had the Hornets. They beat them 4-1, won the series 4-1. They won the first two, lost one, then won the second two. Then they played the Mavericks 3-0, and then the Mavericks won one game, and then the Nuggets closed that out at home. So no, I mean, talk to me if by tomorrow night, if Minnesota pulls off an upset tomorrow night, yeah, obviously you get a little worried. You get a little worried, but I'm not worried right now. The worry factor for me is at 2 out of 100. Out of 100, 2. Is yours at a 2 or 0? Is there any worry at all in your brain?
Not really. Like
a 1.
If they'd have lost last night by like 10, late in that game, it would feel different. But I think it's you came back from 12.
They just
12
turned
points
it
down
on suddenly.
You flip. You know, we keep talking about this team flipping the switch, and like you don't just turn
night.
It on and off. Well, yeah, you kind of did last night.
Yeah, they did last night. They flipped something on last night.
And I think I think Minnesota has been reacting to what the Nuggets have done in this series. You know, Murray had his big game, so they adjusted to that. Jokic had a big game last night. Do they adjust to that? I think you could see in Game 5 where this whole team kind of pulls together and says, guys, let's just put this away. Do what we've been doing all series.
Who's been the better player, the best player so far for the Nuggets in the playoffs?
In this series?
Yeah.
Is it crazy to say MPJ?
Because I'm trying to fire up my deep thoughts from a Wandering Mind blog, and I was thinking about it last night. I'm waiting until the series is over. And I was like, if they close this thing out and MPJ finishes with like 20 points or whatever, I might say the unsung hero is Michael Porter Jr. Just because of the way he's not just camping out on the three-point line. He's not spreading the floor as much. He's changing the floor. When he's penetrating and cutting to the basket, it changes how teams can defend.
No, he's been clutch, really, in the last couple of games in the fourth quarter. He's hitting these, clutch three-point shots. You know, some of them are traditional MPJ threes where he's really closely contested. Other times you're seeing him get the ball at the arc and say, no, I'm just going to take this, either get a foul or he's starting to get – I feel like his athleticism is starting to show out a little bit more. You're seeing more of that layups and a bit more. He's not as stiff.
He doesn't – stiff or soft, and I hate to call players soft because –
soft in like, the sense he's not attacking as much.
Yeah, and it's like he can't hold on to the ball sometimes with those strong takes. Like the ball's going to slip out of his hands or something. I've really noticed that. I mean, honestly, I'd probably say Joker, probably, but I wouldn't fight you if you said it was MPJ. And again, that could be the case.
I also think he's had some really solid defensive efforts.
No,
like there's a couple times where it's just one-on-one, and that's when you kind of freak out with Michael. But he's been locked in on defense.
Yeah, he's been locked in, no doubt about it. 37 minutes after the hour, our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Spring football related. Now, I just want to ask, I'm just asking. Too much hype surrounding primetime in the Buffs this spring? Like, too much. Is there a point where it's like, okay. Dude, did you see Buffs' Twitter? I mean, all the Denver media that never talk college football, ever, they're just like, you know those Looney Tune cartoons where the tongue rolls out and then they have to like roll it back up into their mouth?
Eyes get all big and pop out of their heads.
That was the entire Denver media yesterday. Like they'd never seen anything like it before. Did you guys see Dion walk the legendary fan out onto the field? Oh my God. Which was a special moment. I will say it was pretty cool.
Yeah, but you zoom out a bit, it's just an old lady kicking a football.
Yeah, but it was just,
you could have had a 5-year-old kid do it and it would have been the same reaction.
But it was,
I get it.
Twins, and she lost her twin 2 years ago. So
I get the story. I think it's cool.
They really take care of her. But still, it was like everything that they did. And I'm like watching these guys. I'm like, holy crap, you guys are drinking. And I love it. I do. I'm a fan of it. Who wouldn't be? This is great for the state of football, state of Colorado football. But, okay, come on.
Is it going to be there when you're 0-1?
I don't know, but it's like, you guys just, it's a little much. It's a little much.
And well, it's at the point where it's been so much hype that we're just, four transfers in the portal? Ah, that's nothing.
Well, how about this one, though? How about this transfer? We're going to talk to Brian Howell about it next. Montana, Lemonius?
Lemonius.
I always mess his name up. Craig.
Yep.
Lemonius. He like tore it up in the spring game. Big piece to what they're trying to do. He's leaving. We'll talk about that with Brian Howell next. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-two minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Joining me now is Brian Howell of Buff Zone. He's our CU Buffs insider. And I got to get to some of the big news that came from the weekend that was. But, Brian, okay, it was huge. It was a crazy, crazy weekend, especially for CU. The rest, it was just kind of like, yeah, spring ball, it's normal. But for the Buffs, it was like a holiday this weekend. Snow be damned, it didn't matter. I got to ask you, Brian, you tell me. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Too much hype surrounding primetime, or is it all good? It's, you know, marketing, it's to the fullest. It's great.
Well, that's a tough one to answer. In Colorado, no, there's not too much hype because of what Buff fans have, I'll use the word endure, what they've had to endure, you know, for much of the past two decades, and last season was so brutal that, no, I don't think so. Nationally, I would say yes, because it's going to be really difficult for this program to match the hype as far as the results on the field this fall. But if you're a Colorado fan, you are absolutely loving this because it is such a nice change from what last year and what previous years have been.
Yeah, well, and I look at a guy like you, Brian, and you've been covering this team through thick and thin no matter what. And you're going to cover this team the same way you cover them. You know, you might do more interesting stories about primetime and stuff, but you do it. I was laughing over the weekend at all these media members that are like the old Looney Tunes, man, the tongue's rolling out, and it's like they had to fold it back up into their mouth. Some of these guys just come out of the woodwork. I saw RG3 was there. Maybe somebody should have talked to him, Brian, about talking crap about the Nuggets, too, by the way, while he's in Colorado. Maybe that would have been a good thing. But it's just like the national media, yeah, they're all over this thing. I get it, though. It's amazing for the state. It's amazing for the other teams, too.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's making CU football kind of cool again. You know, nationally, it's like, wow. I mean, they're on the radar. And, you know, it doesn't hurt CSU and probably Air Force to have some eyes on the state, especially CSU, because you're playing Colorado this year. I mean, that game is a higher profile game. Now, I think you and I have talked about it before, but I mean, you know, if you're CSU, you're excited for that one. You're going to be, you know, on a bigger stage that day. If you're the Rams, why, I mean, you can't help be fired up for that one, right? And so I think the hype going in is going to be huge. I think it could be a negative for CU, though, because Deion's clearly putting a big target on the back of the Buffs. And it's going to be there every week.
Yeah, he really is. There's no doubt. But, I mean, you saw the trash talk over with spring ball. And I'm seeing Rams fans going at it, talking about primetime and the Buffs. And then, of course, the Buffs are all – fans are all in. And for me, I'm like – I like both. I like all sports in this area. I want all these teams to thrive. So, for me, it's perfect. But I do wonder, you know, like you said, with the national side and some of these other media members, suddenly it's like, dude, I don't even care – who their quarterback is or who their running back is. This team is amazing because of primetime. Speaking of the players, the X's and O's, talk to us about this one. Brian, we had you on last week, and we talked about some of the guys entering the portal, and you said, all right, it's pretty normal. We kind of thought this was going to happen, but what can you tell us right now about Montana Lamonius Craig? Like, that is the big one where we go, oh, I thought he – and he had a good game on the spring game, too, so this is a little bizarre.
Yeah, there's two of them. You know, Jordan Tyson leaving today, that's the biggest loss to me. But even with Tyson, it I understand it. The one, they've lost now 22 in the last, like, you know, 12 days or whatever it is. But the one that surprises me is Montana. And it's not only just because of how he played on Saturday, but it's because of the rapport he seems to have built with Shedeur Sanders. I mean, he seems to be one of the guys that's on the inside, you know, that he's been accepted by this new regime. And I mean, Montana and Shedeur, you know, have been showing up to men's basketball games together since January. You know, those two guys, they're friends. I mean, after Montana posted this thing yesterday, Shedeur does an Instagram live and he's with Montana. They're shopping, you know, so they're friends. And so that's what makes all this surprising with him. The rest, not so surprising, but that's a tough one. Montana has been a great Buff. He had a great game on Saturday, and it really seemed like he was, you know, one of the guys now for this standard regime. So I'm surprised by that one.
What are you hearing? I mean, what's the reason? Does he have another? I mean, is he in the portal? There's other opportunities there. What are you hearing?
Well, I don't know for sure. I haven't been able to really talk to him. I did send him a message and thank him for all the media time and everything. And he's a great guy. He wrote back and said thank you and all that, but I don't know a reason, but my guess, honestly, is like everybody else, is it comes down to playing time. And, you know, as good as he was on Saturday, I'm sure Montana looks at this roster and says, how much am I going to play? You know, how much am I even going to start here? When they're looking at Travis Hunter being a receiver, they love Jimmy Horn Jr., who we didn't see on Saturday. He's been a little banged up, but they love him. They're adding Xavier Weaver, who was the number one receiver at South Florida last year. Willie Gaines, who was a slot receiver from Jackson State last year, committed last week. They've got six freshmen that Dion and his team have recruited that are coming in the summer. So he's probably looking at, like, how much am I actually going to play? And frankly, Montana probably earned himself an extra 5 or 10 scholarship offers with that performance on Saturday, and he can probably go be a starter somewhere.
So it could be where he's already looking at the depth chart throughout the month, and he's like, man, it's going to be tough. And then he lights it up, but he still kind of knows, yeah, but I know that's just spring ball. I know that's one thing that's not going to be the end-all be-all. I know I can do this, but I don't want to be, you know, fourth, fifth guy down the depth chart. So that performance maybe gave me enough fuel to go, you know what, I got to go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. And another one I didn't mention, Caleb Mathis, who we saw a lot of, had a big game the other day as well. He's a walk-on, but he's kind of an interesting walk-on. I mean, his dad's on the staff, and he's one of the guys. I mean, they brought him here. They love him. There were three receivers that there was a whole thing in the spring made about guys earning their numbers, right? Three receivers earned their numbers in the spring. Montana was not one of them. So it's possible that the spring game was the best he showed all spring, and that he was told even before that, you know, hey, you're not going to start here. And so I can see that being possible. So it's surprising because of all the other things I was talking about, but that's a tough one to lose for sure.
Brian, what was it like, man, Saturday, seeing all those people there? Snow, doesn't matter. People were there. It was an event. I see you, CSU, UNC, all the other spring games, they were just spring games. This was actually an event.
Yeah, I keep telling people, you know, it was weird because it was, first off, it felt like just the perfect fall day, you know, and it's spring.
Yeah.
But it was that crisp weather. It had like the gray, you know, the overcast skies and all that stuff. And it felt exactly like a game day, except that I kept waiting for the opposing team to come out of the locker room, and they never did. So it felt like a game day and like a party atmosphere. And the fact that it was a spring game, and knowing what spring games have been like in Colorado in the past, it was just somewhat surreal. Like, this is really a spring game here at Colorado. There was 47,000 people there. It was crazy.
Yeah, I had to laugh. My mother-in-law, she's a sports fan, but she doesn't really get the whole spring thing. And she's like, yeah, I read somewhere that CU, or she was like, CU won, CSU lost, UNC won. I'm like, well, they all played each other, so it really didn't it didn't come out that way. She's like, oh, that makes sense. But in your mind, how did they do this Saturday? Who won? Who were the winners of the day as far as Buffs players are concerned?
Well, it was the biggest win CU's had in Folsom in a while.
I think fans just needed to see a win, man. It didn't matter.
Right. Yeah, it didn't matter. The offense was the better side. And, you know, defense is depleted right now. They only had literally four defensive linemen that played in that game. That's all they have on the roster right now, because they have four that left for the transfer portal last week. So, you know, the quarterbacks kind of had their way. Shadur was fantastic. Travis Hunter was fantastic. Montana, of course. The offense just, you know, they kind of destroyed him. And frankly, a cornerback, Travis Hunter is playing mostly receiver, so he's not out there. Their other top corner was there, but he's a high school kid, so he was in street clothes, Cormani McClain. So they're kind of going against, you know, what was called the number one defense, but really is probably more the backup defense when we get to the fall. And so offense looked better. But that, I think that was great for the fans, because that's what they wanted to see. We haven't seen any offense at Colorado in 3 years.
Yeah, I think at this point, just seeing some touchdowns and some deep passes and all that is a big deal. Well, Brian, we're up against the break, my man. Appreciate you as always. Hey, listen, whether it's too much hype or not, I've felt this from day one with primetime. It's an amazing thing. It's historic. It's great. Who knows how it's going to turn out, but you're getting attention on the state of Colorado, and I've always said I don't care how that happens, as long as it's positive. I don't care how it happens, so I'm not complaining about it. I think ultimately it's a great thing.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing, and it's tough right now sometimes watching all these guys leave in the portal, and you wonder, like, are they actually going to get guys in here that can be better? But at this point, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt, and let's see how it plays out in the fall.
All right, my man. Brian, appreciate you and all you do, my friend, and we'll look to catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Brian Howell of Buff Zone. I'm telling you, you want your Buffs news, you want the inside information, Brian's going to hit you up with it right there at BuffZone.com. 1152, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back to the whole show. Tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Too much hype? Too much? Surrounding prime time and the Colorado Buffaloes? Now, Angel, you're great to speak on this because college football, and I know we don't have much time, and I'll read text when we come back. College football is more so about the coach than the NFL is, right? The NFL is about the quarterback. Coach is a big part of that, obviously, but the coach in college is the big deal. So Nick Saban is certainly the focal point for all things Alabama. But not like this. Not like what we're seeing with primetime. This is primetime, then the Buffs. It is a unique thing. Again, don't mistake me here. I'm not saying I don't like it. It's a huge story, and it's fun to talk about. And I'd rather this than not. But is it a little too much? Go vote at theholeshow.com. We got good texts coming in. We'll talk about it on the other side after the lunch rush. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.